I did want to mention to you this morning, not that you would necessarily want to put yourself through the task of listening to me twice in one day, but tonight at 6 o'clock at Grove Park Baptist Church, they are having a revival series that has been going on through the month of August, and tonight is the last night of that revival series, and I will be preaching at Grove Park Baptist tonight at that 6 o'clock service. So if you're inclined and interested and want to worship God some more together corporately within the church, you're more than welcome to come and share that time with us tonight at 6 o'clock at Grove Park Baptist Church. We would look forward to seeing you there. This morning, we're going to be looking in the Old Testament at the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles. Now, this scripture that we're going to look at this morning is going to seem somewhat familiar. At least part of the scripture is going to seem somewhat familiar because our whole basis for what we call our ministry 714, which began a little over a year ago, I guess, year and a half ago. Our whole basis of that is on 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. We want to be a people of prayer. We want to be a house of prayer. We want to recognize the power of prayer and the importance of prayer in our lives and in the life of our church, and that prayer is the key to everything we are doing. We can do all the right things, everything just perfectly on our own strength, but we will fail and it will crumble and we will fall if we don't recognize the power of prayer and the meaning of prayer in our lives. So we're going to be looking this morning at that scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we're actually going to look starting from verse 11 to verse 15 to kind of put it in context. But before we go there and look at that scripture, I wanted to tell you a story I heard just a couple of weeks ago. This is a story of this elderly man who had some hearing problems. You know, this is, I could wear my ears if you'd like for me to wear them while I preach this morning. I'm not sure you would pay attention to me, but you may not anyway, but I can, anyway. He had this terrible hearing problem. He needed my ears. He couldn't hear very well at all, and he had been battling with that issue in his life for quite some time, so he finally went to the doctor. You know us guys, we don't go to the doctor unless it's just the last resort. We put it off and put it off and put it off. Well, he had put it off. He finally decided, I'm going to go to the doctor. So he went to the doctor. The doctor fitted him with the newest state-of-the-art high-tech hearing aid that he had, the best that there was, and it worked. The elderly gentleman was then able to hear almost perfectly with these hearing aids that the doctor had given him. A few months later, he went back to the doctor just for a checkup, and the doctor checked his hearing again and said, wow, your hearing is perfect. Your family must be just so excited that you're able to hear again. And the elderly man said, well, to be honest with you, doc, I hadn't told my family about it. I just sit around and listen to them talking and listen to them talk about me, and I've changed my will 3 times. You never know who's listening. You never know who's listening, do you? You never know who's hearing what you're saying. My mama, that story reminds me of my mama because in her later years of life, and this is not a nice way to say it, but there's no better way to say it, she was absolutely deaf as a rock. I mean, she was stone deaf. She could hardly hear anything, it seemed like. I would drive up, and I know some of you have relatives like this too, I would drive up in her driveway with my windows up in my vehicle, her doors and windows shut, and I could tell you what she was watching on television. She had it up as loud as it could possibly be. One time, I was trying to go see her and help her with something, and I knocked on the door, and I knocked on the door, and I knocked on the door. I could not get her to hear the door over the television. I had to go to the breaker box, turn off the power to her TV, so her TV would go off so she could hear me. This woman was absolutely deaf. She couldn't hear anything. But then, what was so funny is, this very same woman, we could be sitting in a room together, me and a couple of my brothers and her over here, and I could say in the softest tone I have something about her to one of my brothers, and she would hear every word of it. She would hear everything I said. So you never know. You never know who's listening. You never know who might be listening to what you're saying. The truth is, and I talked about this with these children, somebody's always listening. There's somebody who's always listening. Who is that? God. You know, the kids know that answer, obviously. It's God or Jesus if I ask a question. God. He's always listening. And his greatest desire, I believe, his greatest desire is for his children, his people, to talk to him. To just take time to talk to him. Because it's really hard to have a relationship with someone that you're not willing to spend some time talking to. Imagine what kind of a relationship you and your spouse would have if you only spoke to each other just once in a while, or maybe once a week, or maybe late in the evening one time a couple of sentences. Imagine what kind of relationship you would have with that person. Not a very good one, because you can't get to know each other if you're not willing to communicate and talk. And I think one of the greatest desires that God must have for us is that we pray. Pray that we talk to him. You know, the Bible tells us this over and over again. It says in the scriptures, go into your closet. Remember? Go into your closet. Pull the door shut. Get by yourself. Talk to God. Pray. It says in the Bible, pray without ceasing. How in the world do you do that? Now, I've seen some people driving up and down the interstate that looked like they were praying, because they must have had their eyes closed going down the road. How do you pray without ceasing? You get up in the morning and it's all about you and God. And it's a consistent, constant, never-ending conversation. God, I've got to deal with this. Help me through this. God, I can't believe that happened. What did I do wrong? God, I can't imagine how that could have occurred. A constant conversation with God. Constantly communicating with God and who God is. The Bible says that the fervent prayer, some scripture translations say, availeth much. Makes a big difference. It changes things. It works. It does amazing things in life. When a person is willing to take the time to talk to God and to pray to God, this regular, consistent communication with God is something that is just about everything. It's just about all we are as his people. That we pray, that we constantly are in this communication with God, and I can promise you, he's got the big ears on. He's always listening. Now, Solomon and the Israelites in 2 Chronicles, Solomon and the Israelites, especially Solomon, realized this. Solomon realized that there was a power to talking to God. That there was a necessity to talking to God. And especially given the fact that we are fallible human beings who, I promise you, before the end of the day and the sun sets, I'm going to sin, and I can imagine you will too. Because we're that kind of people, it is even more important and more of a necessity that we pray. And Solomon recognized that. We're picking up the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 where Solomon has just finished building this temple. He spent 7 years building the temple. The temple is now complete. Solomon wants to dedicate it. He wants to have this big dedication ceremony for this temple that he has completed. And he wants to make sure that the temple is going to be used for the right reasons. He wants to make sure the temple is used for the right purposes. He wants to be a place where these people who are fallible people, these people can go and get forgiveness. He wants to make sure that it is a place where everyone who is broken, everyone who is hurt, everyone who is going through struggles can come and find forgiveness in God in this temple. And he knows the nature of God. And he knows that if we turn our backs on God, it doesn't always end well. He knows that they need to keep their focus on God because he knows these Israelite people are the worst for turning their backs on God. They're the worst for building calves made of gold. Remember that? They're the worst for doing all these other things that are kind of against who who God is and their relationship with God. He knows they're going to sin. He knows they're going to fall. He knows they're going to fail. He wants this temple to be a great place for them to come and to be able to find forgiveness and not just make God some sort of afterthought. So Solomon says this prayer in the temple that he has just built, and the prayer is actually in chapter 6, starting at verse 40. I'm going to read the short prayer that Solomon prayed. He says, "Now, my God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Now arise, Lord God, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests, Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your faithful people rejoice in your goodness. Lord God, do not reject your anointed one. Remember the great love promised to David, your servant." Solomon prays this prayer, and guess what? God shows up. God responds. God sends down this fire that consumes all kinds of things. It consumes the burnt offerings. It consumes all the sacrifices. The glory of God comes into this place through this prayer, through this temple that Solomon has built and this prayer that he has prayed. The glory of God comes down. And if you read on a little bit in the beginning of chapter 7, and I'm not going to read it, but if you read in those little sections, it says that they had a sacrifice of 22,000 cattle. 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. Imagine what that place smelled like. They had a sacrifice, a humongous sacrifice to God, praising Him and honoring Him for all that God had done for them. And everyone in the temple was joyful. Everyone in the temple was excited about God's presence. So they've had this dedication ceremony. It's all finished. Solomon goes home. Solomon goes to bed. And here's where God comes to Solomon. Chapter 7, beginning with verse 11. "When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and had succeeded in carrying out all that he had mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, 'I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple of sacrifices.'" Now Solomon's got to be excited. He built the temple. They built the temple. God's chosen the place, and God has shown up to be with them. I can imagine Solomon probably felt some pride about that moment. He probably felt pretty proud. Look at me. Look at what I built. God's come. Look at what we did. Look at this temple we built. God's shown up. Verse 13. "Then God said, 'When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people.'" What God's saying is, yeah, you can be puffed up if you want to, Solomon, but guess what? Y'all are about to fail again. You're human beings. You're going to fall. You're going to sin. You're going to fail. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to do something that's going to make me have to send locusts, or something that's going to make me have to do these things. Shut up the heavens of the rain. So, Solomon, when I have to do this, when you have sinned and I have to do these things and you don't turn to me, here's what you need to do. Verse 14, this great scripture. "If my people," these people, "if my people who are called by my name," notice, it's God's people. He's not talking to somebody out there. He's not talking to somebody that has no clue. He's not talking to anybody else. He's talking to his people. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." These people of God who are fallible. People hadn't changed in 2,000 years, I promise. We're all the same. These people of God that we are too, who are fallible and fall and fail and make mistakes, and they're not very humble, and they can get pride in the way, and they can put God last and all those things. These people of God who do all these things, and they think they can do all this stuff on their own strength. God says, if you'll just humble yourself a little bit, if you'll just not make me the last thing, but the first thing, if you'll just pray, if you'll just talk to me, if you'll just be willing to have a conversation with me, if you'll just seek me every day, then I'll take care of things. I'll build your temples. I'll heal your land. I'll forgive your sins. I'll do all this stuff. But you got to want to be with me, God says. You got to want to talk to me. You got to want to have a relationship with me. Verse 15. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. You want God to listen to you. You want God to be attentive to you. You want God to hear your prayers. You know, praying's not easy. Praying's not something that we always feel like doing, is it? It's not something that's always a comfortable thing to do. Now, if you do it every day, all day long, talking to God, sometimes it can get a little easier. But sometimes when you want to schedule your prayer time, sometimes that can be kind of tough. Boy, I just don't feel like doing it. I'm sleepy. I don't feel like talking right now. I feel like going to sleep. How many times, don't raise your hand at this, do not raise your hand. How many times have you laid in the bed and said, I need to pray a little while, and you pray and you say about 2.5 sentences and attaboy, Landon, at least he's honest. Sure, we've all done it. We've all done it because we put God at the end of the day. We made God the last thing. We made God the last, oh my goodness, I haven't talked to God all day long. I need to pray. I need to talk to God. I need to have a conversation. I mean, I feel bad. I feel obligated. I need to spend some time with God right now. So I'm going to, oh. We've all done it. It happens in all of our lives. Now, you know, I've been dealing with this scripture for a long time. Long even before Ministry 714 started, this scripture has kind of stuck me right here. And right now, I think I'm dealing with it more than I probably ever have. And I think this scripture is very important for us to understand and recognize in our time, in this church, in our situation, and in what's going on in our lives and in this church. Now, you may be thinking, what are you talking about? What's wrong, preacher? Everything's great, right? Everything's going great. We're helping people. We're fixing up the building. Where new people are starting to show up a little bit. We're painting stuff. There's a new excitement here that hadn't been here in a long time. All that stuff's happening. We're doing just great. We don't have anything to worry about, do we? Look at what we're accomplishing. Look at what we are doing. Look at what we're doing here. Look at the temple we're building. Look at what we're accomplishing here in our work. The concern I have is that we're not any different from Solomon and the Israelites. And we're not. And the concern I have here is that just like Solomon with the Israelites, we need to make sure that we don't forget, even for a second, that we do nothing. We do nothing. We are simply obedient. That's it. We are simply obedient servants to the true and living God who leads us and who guides us in our lives. Someone asked, I had my yearly review this past week. You know, I've been here just a little over a year. And I sat in front of the Inquisition, not the Inquisition, it was very nice, I'm sorry. It was a nice, nice meeting, it really was. Everybody was just so sweet and so nice. But we had this yearly review that I had, and one question came up in that review, and it was a great question that was asked. I love the fact that the question was asked. Someone looked at me and asked the question, who came up with this vision thing? Who came up with this vision? And my answer was, immediate. Just I didn't even think about it. It was almost like a knee-jerk reaction. My answer was God. God. There was no doubt. It's God's vision. It's not mine. It's not Shannon's. It's not the deacon's. It's not the properties team. It's not anybody else. This is God's vision. And I can promise you, write this down. I can promise you that the minute we forget that, The minute we forget that this is God's vision, the minute we lose sight of that fact that we can't do anything without God, the minute we lose sight that we can't do this on our own strength or our own power or our own intellect or our own planning or our own anything else, we can't do this without God, the minute we stop remembering that we have to have God to complete what we're doing, that's when things will crumble. That's when things will fall apart. That's when things will turn to just a mess. Because there's somebody waiting in the wings, I promise you, who wants nothing more than to get you never to talk to God. There's somebody waiting in the wings who wants nothing more than you to think, we did this. We accomplished this. We built this temple. We did all this stuff. We're feeding these people. We're helping these people. No, this is God. We're just obedient. We're just servants of God. This vision is not coming from me. It's not coming from anyone else. It's not coming from some capital campaign or any of this other stuff. This vision is coming to life because God brought it to life. Because God is leading us. Because God is guiding us. And let me tell you, if we're not talking to God, and if we're not praying to God, and if we're not experiencing God, how can we possibly know the next step? How can we possibly know where we go now? How can we possibly know what we're supposed to be doing? Prayer is not something that we schedule or that we do. Prayer is who we are. This place needs to be a place of prayer. It needs to be a place filled with prayers, filled with praying people who spend their day, who spend their life, who everything about them is about who God is in their life and talking to God and sacrificing the time to be with God and pray in this way. So don't fall for the lie that you'll be told. Don't fall for the lie that'll lead you to believe that we have done anything. We haven't. God's the one. God's the one who has led us to this place. It's God who has got a place for children upstairs now. It's God who fed 100 people at Starfish yesterday. Did you know that? 100 people got fed. God did that. It's God who makes sure that children aren't going home and not eating all weekend anymore in some schools. It's God that's doing those things. It's God who is allowing us to meet people right where they are, face to face, every week, just like Jesus did. Allowing us to meet people and try to meet their needs as this humble servant. I promise you, this is about God. And He's always listening. And if you don't do anything else, if before anything else we do, before painting or cleaning or sweeping or giving or planning or anything else, the greatest thing you can do, the greatest thing, is pray. It's the greatest thing. Imagine a church filled with people who did nothing but pray. When they get up in the morning to when they go to bed at night, they pray. Imagine what God can do, how God can lead a church who is willing to communicate with Him, seek Him, find Him that closely every day in their lives. God's listening. He's listening. Let's spend our lives with Him and watch what God does in your life, because you're His people, and in the life of this church. Let's bow and have a prayer together. Thank you, Father, that you give us the opportunity through the work of Jesus Christ, who has become our high priest, through the work that Christ did on the cross and His death and resurrection, through the fact that the curtain has been torn from top to bottom, we can go straight to you, the creator of all things, the creator of heaven and earth. We can go straight to you. Forgive us, God, that we don't take advantage of that. Forgive us, God, that we don't do that as we should. God, I pray for this church to be a people of prayer. More than anything else, Such a great church, such loving, caring, giving, kind, helpful people, people who want so badly to be the church in this community. Help us, God, to realize that it begins with you. It's all about you. We come to you, God, asking for your guidance, for your vision. We come to you, God, every day. Bless us with wisdom, with your presence. And we pray through Christ our Savior and Lord. Amen.